Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game, an XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. This is episode number 104, and it's going to be a weird one. And we're going to call it Pajama Cast, because we're recording this on a Saturday morning, and most of us are still in our pajamas, except for Allie. That girl got up and got showered and got cleaned up and ready to go, but the rest of us, we were like, grab coffee, grab our, you know, comfy outer robe thing, and then just come here and chill and talk about video games. It's also been a very weird week in games. Mostly that the conversation is mostly about the people surrounding games rather than the games themselves. But before we get into that, I want to let you know who's sitting around the digital table here with me today. Kat, how you doing?
I'm not awake. Hi.
All right, good. Allie, how about you? How's it going?
Hi, I'm fantastic.
So chipper. Simon?
I'm usually the one who's like in a good mood in the morning, but now Ali is pissing me off, so I'm just gonna...
Well, fine then.
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm glad everybody is up and at 'em, and even though it's early, because most of us end up playing games late into the evening, I want to know what y'all been playing. Kat, what have you been playing?
Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild that I'm 20 hours in. I'm trying not to go too fast because I don't want it to end, but I'm really, really, really enjoying it. It is definitely the best Zelda up to date. I'm loving it so much. Even if I'm playing on Wii U and sometimes when I walk into a village, my frame rate drops to like 6 for like a few seconds and crawls its way back to 20, but I'm still loving it. I'm still enjoying it. I was lucky enough last week to go to a press event for Mass Effect Andromeda, so I got to try that game.
What'd you think?
I only saw a few missions, and I only played myself for like 10-20 minutes. So I couldn't get an idea of really like the size of the open world they're giving you. Because the point of that game is space exploration. It's really to explore this new galaxy. But combat is way better. They've really tweaked the combat, the fact that you have a jetpack that you can move around. So it's not a shooting gallery. It's really like, it's more like Halo, Titanfall, a bit more like moving around. And the enemies also, like, they jump around and they'll come and get you. Like, you don't hide behind a box and then, you know, you just wait till they path around. Like, they'll come and get you and throw grenades or just use their jetpack. So that was really nice. I'm honestly really disappointed in the voice acting and the animation.
That's been in the news a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, BioWare BioWare is known for having weird animation and recycling them throughout all their games. I mean, Dragon Age Inquisition, which is one of my favorite games of the last 5 years, had weird animation, and the faces were better than in Andromeda, but weren't that great. But the voice acting was really good. Like, you could just close your eyes and listen to the conversation and still get really sucked in. And the story and the characters were really great. So the problem with Andromeda is, like, I wasn't a fan of the voice acting. So you can't even close your eyes. And so that was a big disappointment for me. For something that's so story-based that it's, like, you get sucked into these games because of the story, I'm a bit worried, to be honest. But I've only had about an hour with the game, so this is very first impressions.
Did you get the "my face is tired"?
No. But we saw the beginning of the game, and the presenter was using Sarah, and at one point she turns around and she looks around at the galaxy through like the spaceship to like admire it, and then it cuts through her face, and I swear to God, she was cross-eyed.
At a press demo?
At a fucking press demo.
Oh my. Allie, you're playing the same game, right? You're in with EA Early Access?
Yeah, I'm playing the 10-hour trial in EA Access right now. I'm about 4 or 5 hours in.
When did you get access to that?
The 16th.
Okay, cool.
Upon recording this. But yeah, so I've been playing. I am not an existing fan of the Mass Effect series. The first three games didn't reel me in at all. I've said it before on the podcast, I struggle with BioWare games. Don't know what it is. But now I think I've kind of pinpointed it. I think it really is the less than stellar animations. And I'm also not a big fan of the voice acting or dialogue. I think it all feels very stilted. And I think Mass Effect Andromeda is suffering from the same issues that BioWare has across all of its titles. Which is silly because the stories themselves are great and interesting and vast, but it just doesn't seem to translate to their cast of characters, at least not in my opinion. I know I think I'm in the minority when I say that, but Andromeda, the first 2 hours that I spent with the game were rough. They were rough. I didn't find myself connected to anything going on. The animations are distracting, is like the perfect summation. Like it's the only thing you can focus on. When a character's potato face is like twitching or like moving oddly, or their mouths look like little mini trumpets, like it's very jarring. Especially for, like Kat said, a game that revolves so much around interacting with said characters and creating a connection with those characters. Like, I mean, the game's dialogue options have been, like, it's bread and butter, right? Like, that's what people enjoyed most about it. And like,
choices.
The choices. And, like, they zoom in really close on characters' faces when you're talking to them. So there's nowhere else to look. You just have to look at their faces acting oddly by today's standards. You know what I mean?
It's funny, too, because we're coming off the back of some of the prettiest games and best animated games, like Horizon Zero Dawn, Uncharted, you know, Zelda is gorgeous, the animation in that. This is one of the most anticipated games of the year.
Yeah. It is. Mass Effect is a huge fan base. Like, BioWare has a huge fan base. And they kept boasting last week that, like, oh, there's over 1,200 speakable characters in the game. And it's really obvious at this point that they kind of went for quantity over quality. And it's a little bit disappointing. And I said the first 2 hours were the most difficult. It's getting better now, and I find myself kind of slipping into the universe a little bit more, but I still have a ways to go. And I'm hoping that Andromeda really does convert me to being a Mass Effect fan, because there's no reason why I shouldn't enjoy this game. There's really no reason at all. The combat is good. I think the game could use a better mini-map. Like, right now they kind of have like a nav bar, but it's not the greatest. I think in combat there should be some sort of mini map, just because everything's very small in the game. Like, I have really good eyesight, but everything is really small, so like even the enemies, unless you pan over them, you'll still hear that combat music going, and you're going, well, where the heck is he, you know what I mean? Like, there's no other
I found that you're really like too tight in to your hero, like how you barely see your hero. Maybe I'm used for third person, like in Skyrim. I like always zoom out to the maximum. And when I played Dragon Age, I was also like more like up top, but like for this, like you're really close, like, and he or she will take like almost like a fourth of the screen, right? And I'm just like, get your head out of the way, I can't see where the enemies are.
Yeah, but I mean, movement is really great. It feels very, very smooth, and so it's enjoyable. It doesn't feel clunky. And that's like a big problem that I think most games suffer from, is like the combat can get clunky or, you know, un unfun after a certain while, but I don't think Andromeda is gonna have to deal with that. But yeah, I just and you know, people have been making fun of the animations all week, which, I mean, they kind of, like, we can't not, because I got the scene where the character says, "My face is tired," and I was almost crying. I was laughing so hard because the entire interaction with that NPC is, it's so bad.
Like, they actually took a clip of someone saying, "My face is tired."
I actually took a clip of it, and it begins, you walk up to her and you initiate conversation, and she goes, first of all, she corrects your grammar. She's like, "Whom?" And "Your goddamn father." And I'm like, I have never spoken to you before in my life. Why are you yelling at me? And it's just like, "I'm sorry. My face is tired because of everything." And I'm just like, what? Like, how was this allowed to happen? Yeah. I don't know if they can patch that, but I think they should patch that.
Well, that's the other thing I was reading. Like, people were saying, is it possible to fix it, like, on a day one patch? And, like, a 3D animator was like, no, it's not something, like, you have to redo the whole freaking games and animations. Like, it's not something you can just, like, tweaking a few things and sending it. No, like, this it's going to take, like, months to fix.
How do they think that's like, okay? I don't think that they should patch the animations. I don't think that's possible, but, like, her dialogue was just so bad.
Well, even the dialogue, you have to bring in everyone else and redo every, like, dialogue options that are...
Yeah, maybe just remove her from the game. That would be okay.
Well, I was hoping by the fact that now that this game is led out of Montreal, that Montreal would be like, hey, can we re-mocap all the animations? And they didn't. They just kind of, like, went with the bank that BioWare already has, and that's a big disappointment to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like the animations and the facial expression, everything, are a huge downgrade from Dragon Age Inquisition. I went back to look at footage from Dragon Age Inquisition, and, you know, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, the game came out, like, what, 3-4 years ago or something. So I feel like Andromeda should have been one step better than Inquisition, and I feel it's a few steps back. Like, it looks like a game from, like, 8 years ago. Like, it doesn't look better than Skyrim. And Skyrim's been out for, like, what, 5-6 years? And, you know, Bethesda's known to having weird characters and weird animation, but...
Oh, yeah, like, this
you
is...
You zoom out, and you don't look at it.
I would not even... Like, this is on a different plane than Bethesda's animations, and that's saying something. Yeah. That is saying something. It all feels very automated, the animations, and I think that's what happened. I mean, when you have over 1,000 speakable characters, right? Like, you have to automate the process, and it just doesn't work with all these different character models. Like, some, you know, and there's some characters that look fine, but then there's others that are just like, what's happening? Is the devil possessing your face? Like, that's literally what it looks like.
No, her face is tired.
Yeah, that's going to be my excuse for everything now. I'll just be like, I'm sorry, my face is tired.
Can I use that to get out of work for a day? I'm sorry, my face is tired. Yeah, can I get a doctor's note that says that, please?
I mean, your dad's a doctor, so.
Dear dad, can you please write a note that says, my face is tired. Leah, maybe excuse
and,
for
like,
work.
And the worst thing is, like, you compare it to studios that don't do mocap, that just, like, do facial animations, and it looks fantastic when you compare it to the mocap that Mass Effect Andromeda is doing.
Did they use mocap?
Yeah,
or did they mocap
no,
something?
No, they use mocap.
Okay, or did they mocap something like 10 years ago when the technology wasn't all that great?
Maybe that's what it is.
Remember Unity? Remember Assassin's Creed Unity when you had that dude without a face? It kind of reminds me of that, but I felt like I didn't encounter... I never encountered that. And
no, because that bug was with one typical graphic card.
Okay. But still, one, it seems like everybody is dealing with this.
Well, oh, yeah, I mean, it's part of the game. Like, this is the thing with Andromeda. It is
that's
static.
The game.
You get Andromeda, and you also get these animations as a free bonus. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, everybody sees the same shit.
Yeah, this is the game. It's not a bug.
This is your comedy.
This is... And like I said, I'm just a little disappointed because we've had games lately like The Witcher 3, Horizon Zero Dawn, Final Fantasy 15, you know what I mean? Or even The Last of Us on PS3. Obviously, much less quantity-wise, but these games rely on emotion. So emotion should be properly conveyed. And if your animations don't convey emotion, then I'm not going to feel any emotion. I still think I'm going to get into this game, but I think this needs to be a wake-up call. And I think critique is fine. I think all of us talking about this is a good thing, because they need to know for the future. They need to step up their game, especially with the competition.
Yeah.
With all this said and done, and everybody with early access being able to play, Kat, you getting access early as press, do you think this is going to affect sales of Andromeda, or do you think people are still going to jump on it? Because like I said before, it's one of the most anticipated games of the year.
I think fans are going to still look for that game. If you're a fan of the series, I think they're still going to pick it up. I think people that are not sure might wait for a sale, or wait for more opinions to trickle through. Because let's say if your priority is the open world, you're going to have to wait for people to play more than like 5 to 10 hours, because, and get a real scope of the open world to see if it's worth it for you. If you're a fan of the stories and the characters, then this might be a bit of a hindrance, because you could just go on YouTube and watch the cutscenes, basically, in 6 or 8 months from now.
That's what I did for Last of Us.
I don't even think it'll be 6 or 8 months from now. I imagine most of the game's going to be put up on YouTube in the next week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for Dragon Age Inquisition, I played through the game once. I, like, sunk 40 hours into it, but I wanted to know everything about all the characters. So then I went on YouTube and watched all the cutscenes. But, I mean, for Andromeda, that could be, like, a very grueling process, because the scope of the story is even bigger, they said. And the animation and the voice acting isn't all that engaging.
Guess it goes to show maybe quality over quantity is the way to go in a lot of these cases. If you're going to go and, you know, shoot for the moon and try to get all this content in there,
well, at least
maybe you should rethink your strategy.
Yeah, at least invest in your main characters. I mean, like, yeah. Dragon Age Inquisition had Freddie Prinze Jr. in there, so that. And, you know, he played the huge, like, pansexual Canari, like, that kinky motherfucker. That's who he played. And he made that character so interesting. Even if, I don't know if he was mo-capped or if he just did the voice, but, you know, like, the dialogues in Dragon Age were amazing. It was one of the key points of that game, even if the animations were, like, awkward and the faces weren't perfect, but they were getting there. Andromeda just, like, they took 2 steps back in that aspect. But I mean, gameplay wise, like actual gameplay, I think that game is solid.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to be playing it on stream next week for Girls on Games, so I'm excited to keep playing. Like, I mean, obviously the animations are a big thing, but now, like I said, I'm starting to get more invested. So if you guys are still on the fence about buying it, at least you'll be able to see little bits and pieces ahead of time.
Cool. Simon, what have you been playing?
Zelda.
Zelda and more, yeah. Zelda.
However, for the last 3 days, I haven't played it because I'm almost done the main story. Like, I have all divine beasts and all that kind of stuff, but I'm like, fuck, like, I don't want to finish the game. I don't want to finish the main story. I feel that I need to, like, take a step back and just enjoy everything that has happened, and then so I can look forward to more Zelda in the future. So that's what I'm doing. I'm taking my time and just, like, chilling. So, yeah, Zelda and then nothing.
It's like a good book. I always have that issue with a good book where I want to know the end, but I'm sad when it ends.
Yeah, or any good TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know last season of Game of Thrones is coming out, but I don't want to see it because after that, it's going to be over.
No more.
So I'm sad. At least we have the books to look forward to. But
that's true.
Yeah, so mostly Zelda and something else that I will talk about later.
Mm. I've also been playing Zelda, but I think we've pretty much covered that one. But the other one, speaking of games that are busted, Ghost Recon Wildlands. guys. All right, so Allie is giggling because she knows my anguish, because every time I have these, like, rage moments at a game, I always shoot them to Allie, and she feels my pain. First off, trying to get into a group the very first night. So it's me, my husband, and our two buddies, and we're trying to join a group. We could not get joined together for 2 hours. I rage quit the game. The next day, I came back, and I was like, okay, well, maybe it's my character that is messed up. So I go to start a new character. The menu and options for making my character are sitting on top of my character, so I cannot see the character. It is all dark on the right-hand side of the screen. I do not know what my character looks like, so I blind make a female character. So I don't even, I'm not even attached to her and how she looks, because I had no fucking choice. All right, so we finally get into a game. This is the point where now it's only three of us playing this night, because one of the other guys was out for the evening, and I think he was just too pissed off at what happened the night before that he didn't want to start again. So we start playing, wow. And it's going okay, right? It's going okay. So we get into this firefight of a certain sorts, and there's cars all around and all this stuff, and my husband decides to jump into a car and drive around like a maniac, except for him, it looks like he's driving the car. For me, it looks like he's car surfing. So all I see is Michael running on top of the car and glitching and glitching and glitching and coming back and running on top of the car. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Michael, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm driving the car. I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, yes, I am. I'm like, no, you're running alongside the car and glitching out. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Then I also had instances where, like, I would, get knocked out and someone have to come heal me, and my head and arm would be stuck inside a building. Like, I managed to go back a third night. We managed to connect. We managed to get some game stuff in. But then it's the stuff, like, I've been playing Zelda for so long that I'm like, oh, I can climb this, that, and the other thing. No, I can't. The, like, cover mechanics, yeah. I don't understand them. Like, it's not like The Division. I was really expecting it to be like The Division. You would kind of stick to something. No, it doesn't do that at all. And I'm just so frustrated that I don't even want to go back. And it's the same thing as, like, you're talking about Mass Effect, even though it's like the animations. It's like, there are too many freaking good games for me to want to waste my time playing garbage that doesn't work.
Amen. And honestly, I'm so glad that I skipped Wildlands. Like, I feel like I dodged a bullet there. I was watching people play it, and, you know, they would jump in helicopters. Well, the helicopter's blades weren't turning. Same thing with the car. I saw people who were, I assumed, were getting DC'd from their game because they saw a teammate running in place and were like, dude, what are you doing? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm over here doing this. And they'd be like, but you're right here in front of me. And the same thing happened to Leah. I saw it happen to her on stream as well. And they weren't actually getting DC'd. That was just happening.
John's character was stuck at the corner of a top of a building dancing like a maniac. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm right next to you. And then he's like, Mike's like, okay, instead of let's all get in a car, let's take motorcycles. So Mike gets on a motorcycle and I see his character drive off, and then I see this ghost rider on a motorcycle go anywhere. John's character is still up in the corner dancing, but John actually is on the motorcycle, but he's a ghost driving off. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how can you enjoy a game that's so busted? Like, and I feel bad. I know so many people worked on this and all this stuff, but, like, hold on to the game. Don't give it to me when it's busted. I don't, like, there's too many games. I only have so many hours in a day. I'm just, and if the first flavor of a game is that I can't even connect with my friends, fuck off. I'm done.
In a game that's all about working with your friends.
What? Yep.
That's the main selling point of this game, isn't it?
I mean, that game launched, and I have not heard a single thing about it since.
Well, exactly. So, that's what I was going to say. No one's talking about it. No one cares. Good.
Because everybody jumped in, got burned, and GTFO'd.
See, I learned from The Division.
But I had more fun with The Division. I actually enjoyed the time I spent in The Division. I had a really once good time I got into it. The Division. But this is like The Division with another skin, but doesn't work nearly as well. Not that The Division works super well. And then I can't connect with any of the characters. Oh, and the characters are effing rude. Like, straight up rude. Okay? I'm down and, like, whatever. My character is, like, because I'm sucking shit at this point playing this game. And John comes over and heals me. And my character gets up and says, "Took you long enough." What the fuck is that? Straight up rude. You could have just let me die and respawn. Like, ugh.
Sorry. It's fine. I'm just between The Division and Ghost Recon Wildlands. First of all, someone take away this IP from them. Please. Just take it away and give it to somebody else.
Poor Tom Clancy is rolling in his grave.
Yeah, like, it just needs just anyways. I can't, like, it feels like a, like, really intense to say it's unacceptable. But it's unacceptable.
I feel bad for the people who paid $70 for this game.
Yeah. Or more, because there was like 5 different collector's editions.
They got ripped off.
I feel like the division is like floating in the wind right now. They outlined their like quote unquote support plan for the next year. And it's laughable. And the same thing is going to happen with Ghost Recon Wildlands. And it just needs to stop happening.
I can only imagine how it feels for people that worked on this game for ages, and now they're just like, you know, I worked on this game for how many years, and it's a complete turd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you feel bad, but because we know that it's not the problem of the people who worked on the game. We know the game was rushed. We know the game was not budgeted enough, and they wanted to get it out, and it's out now, you know, because that's what Ubi does.
Is this
horrible?
Is this a thing now where they're trying to make these games so massive that they can't handle it? They're way too big. They're shooting way too far for the moon and totally missing it by light years.
I think that's the case for some companies, but then you have companies like CD Projekt Red who pull it off flawlessly. And there's no reason why a military-esque espionage setting like Ghost Recon Wildlands shouldn't also be effective in that big of a space. It just was mishandled. It was mismanaged. It wasn't done properly. And that's unfortunate. But the thing is, it's not the first time that this has happened. Like, we have The Division sitting right there as an example. And people are like, oh, it's not the same game. No, it's not the same game, but there's enough similarities that they can be compared.
I think we've ranted enough for what everybody's playing, so I think it's time to get into the news of the week, and we will do that right after this break. And we're back, and it's time for some news. Allie, what do you got for us?
I have like this neat kind of anecdote. On the 15th, Microsoft announced that they've added a game chat transcription feature in Halo Wars 2 for Xbox One and Windows 10 PC. And I'm pretty excited about this because accessibility is awesome. And basically what this means is they've added a speech-to-text and a text-to-speech capability in the game for players. And this is only available in Halo Wars 2 at the moment, but they are planning to expand this to other titles in the future. So if you are in party chat with your friends and you're hard of hearing or whatnot, this is a tool that can be used to make your experience a little bit easier.
I'm interested
more enjoyable.
To see because, I mean, historically, text-to-speech has been very hard to do properly. But I know Microsoft was, like, very advanced compared to other companies when it came to text-to-speech. So I'm interested to see exactly how that's going to work out for the Xbox.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's been strides in that technology lately, especially with, like, translation programs, like text-to-translated text. So I think this is a great step in the right direction. Microsoft's been really pushing the accessibility thing lately, especially with their latest updates to like the controller configurations and stuff like that. And I think this is just another step in a really awesome direction.
I'm curious to see what comes out, because we gamers have a very interesting vocabulary that includes a lot of yelling, swearing, and made-up words.
Yeah. That's so what? That, like, are you gonna have to be like, "Thank you for playing, good game"? Like, is that how you're gonna have to talk for it to understand what you're
and
saying?
And weird dialects too, with and internet connections are not always stable, and you can often get truncated in party chat, and it gets glitchy. I frequently, I'm not sure how my buddies have their stuff set up, but I can frequently hear myself. So will it get doubled up? It's gonna be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, it's definitely, it probably will need work when it first launches, but I still think the intention
is neat.
Is very neat, and it's good. So it's exciting. I think I'm going to give it a shot. I think I might boot up Halo Wars 2 again and poke around with it a little bit and maybe give you guys my first impressions.
That would be cool. And please try to stump it. That's the best.
Yeah.
I always like trying to stump the system. Kat, what do you got for us?
So there are updates coming to Fire Emblem Heroes for my fellow mobile gamers. A lot of these updates will bring Fire Emblem Heroes up to the same level of difficulty as some of the 3DS counterparts. So you'll love some of these updates. So new features and tweaks. Inherit skill, where you can merge duplicate allies. The disposed hero will pass all of its skills to the hero that's receiving the boost. Hero merit. So when your heroes are taking part in your battles, they will earn this merit. And once it's accrued, it can be used to acquire hero feathers. There's two new combat rules, which is stuff we've seen if you've played the console versions. So defense, which requires you to defend against enemy attacks in a set number of turns, and reinforcements, which means that more enemies will come to the map as the battle goes on. There's adjustments to arena scores and matchmaking for better matchmaking and fairer fights, which was a big complaint from some of the gamers. Bonus hero descriptions, so you can tap on a bonus hero in the arena and the description for them will appear. Some adjustment to the notification display. They'll only display once per day automatically instead of like making your phone ring every hour or whatever. And they're including a new secret item to slightly expand abilities, but that's still super secret. But my favorite update is the fact that later on this spring, they will be adding permadeath. So,
ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's been a staple of Fire Emblem for a while now.
Exactly. I mean, the latest games you could play like in classic mode with the permanent death. When a hero dies, he's gone. But they've added a mode where they're revived after the battle for us more casual gamers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes is going to have permadeath.
Nice.
So you finally got that hero you wanted from your favorite Fire Emblem game.
And he dies.
You better heal the fuck out of him. Or you will lose him forever.
Is that for everybody? For all characters? Or is that a certain mode where you have permadeath?
It will be part of a new in-game event, they said. So I think that because you do have the main story and these chapters are released, they trickle in. But then after that, once you're done with the story, you take part in the in-game event, and those are refreshed daily, and that's what makes you play the game every day. Some of these will have permadeath. So I'm hoping the reward from these events will be greater because you risk losing heroes, your favorite heroes.
And, like, you can choose to not do those events to not lose your characters, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So if you don't want to lose them, you still have the choice to not lose
Gamble
them.
High, payoff is high.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Exactly. Especially since, the game, like, you can get duplicate heroes. That's why they have the merging option that's coming. Because if you got, you know, if you got that hero that you love, and you're like, I need a healer, well, you can get that hero again, and then you're like, but what?
You can die now.
Yeah. I mean, now it makes sense why they have the duplicate heroes, because they're adding the merging and they're adding the permadeath. So, I mean, if you've got a backup.
That's cool. I'm honestly, I might try it. Looks fun. I mean, I like Fire Emblem. I like the series, so it could be fun to try.
Yeah, I need to get back into that game, honestly. Like, Zelda's been all-encompassing that I've even not played Candy Crush in a while. I'm just thinking about Zelda all the time.
Oh my god, for Catherine not play Candy Crush, that's insane.
Oh dear.
Yeah, usually when I'm in the metro, automatically my phone comes out and I'm like, Candy Crush, whatever. But lately I've been going to places where the metro line has Wi-Fi, so instead I've been like Googling Zelda.
Speaking of Zelda and the Nintendo Switch, Simon's got some news on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of the people who still want to get a Switch, even though it's been a nightmare lunch for a lot of people, I mean, there's good news. Nintendo was going to restock all the stores with about around 8 million consoles for summertime. But good news, it's not going to be 16 million consoles.
Double
the amount. I think they're realizing that a lot of people want to buy the Switch, because I think that a lot of people want to play Zelda. I think that's what it is. People don't really care about the Switch, they just want to play Zelda. And no, I mean, it's been working so far. I know a couple of people who actually wanted to buy a Switch, and like, they're sold out pretty much everywhere. So it's cool that Nintendo are actually going to send more, because, you know, they've been very difficult with console stocking in the past, so it's good to see that they're learning and they're trying to make as many as possible. Hopefully, though, that new batch fixes a lot of the issues people have been having with dead pixels and that kind of stuff. Hopefully, you know, that would
those be... are normal, Simon.
Yes, those are normal.
Of course, those are normal. Yes. Nintendo said they were normal.
Yes, Nintendo says things sometimes. But yeah, hopefully it fixes that, and people who still want to get their hands on a Switch will be able to. And play 1-2 Switch, which is really strange.
Snipper Clips is better.
What's that?
Snipper Clips is way better. It's a game on Switch.
Oh, what
where
is
you're
it?
Like little. It's like cutting paper. So you. And it's a multiplayer game. There is a single player side of it, but it's very much like the best part of it is playing multiplayer, and you can play up to 4 people. And you're like this little paper character, and you can cut each other to fit shapes in order to solve puzzles. And the puzzles can be anything from like, cut your character to fit this shape, or somehow get the basketball in the hoop that's falling out of the sky, or turn this lever and solve this puzzle. Like,
okay, so it's all like little mini games and stuff still. So.
Yeah, little puzzles, but it's definitely the better game from 1-2 Switch.
Which is just weirdly Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a weird tech demo. That's 1-2 Switch. Yeah. All right, I think that's it for the news. We're going to jump into the topic of the show, which is going to be split this week. We got two topics. One's a rant, and the other one's a bit of a discussion. So hold up for that. Coming right back. It's time for topic of the show. And guess what? We're going to let Simon go on a rant. So Simon... I'm not even going to preface this. I just want you to go.
Okay.
Rage.
So, story time with Simon. When I came home, it's yesterday from when we were recording. I had a computer issue and Windows crashed and it was horrible and I had to reinstall Windows. Which means, you know, I only keep my Windows on my hard drive, so it's not like too bad. I don't have to reinstall games or whatever. But I did it. Cool, everything's fine, awesome. So now I'm looking at my Steam games, and I'm like, oh, cool, you know, my Steam games are still installed. I'm going to go fix this. All right, everything's okay, everything's good. Oh, the new Dark Souls 3 DLC is coming out in 2 weeks. Oh, I'll go check it out, you know, see what my character is at, what's happening, what's going on. And turns out Dark Souls doesn't use Steamworks. So I lost all my characters because my computer fucked up. So I was very happy, you know, of course, you know, losing 90 hours of characters in Dark Souls and, you know, multiple characters and this and that, and then just like disappearing because some developers from software in that case are too flipping lazy to get integrated with cloud saves. Like, we're in freaking 2017. How can you not have cloud saves for your game on a platform that is built for mother flipping cloud saves? Like, it's not like I bought it on it's not that it's a standalone game that is installed on my computer. It's on flipping Steam. If it's on Steam, it should have cloud saves. It makes no sense that you don't. It's just, I don't understand why developers are still doing that. Why are they saving things locally? It makes no sense. Like, it's just like, I mean, for consoles, they're probably doing it. Like, are saves on consoles locally too? Like, if your Xbox fucks, do you lose all your saves?
No, there's a cloud system.
Same with PlayStation, it's cloud. If you pay for it, yeah.
Fucking, what the hell? PC are supposed to be advanced. They're supposed to be, you know, have more options than consoles and, you know, mods and shit. Like, why isn't it? Okay, some things have mods on consoles now. Whatever. But, you know, it's makes no sense that there's no cloud saves. Especially, even for little indie titles, whatever, don't have time to set it up, don't give a shit. But for like a big AAA title like Dark Souls that doesn't have cloud saves, so there's a potential that you lose all the fucking progress you did, it's just mind-blowing and infuriating. It's just so dumb.
Especially for a game where like getting that kind of progress is hard.
Yeah, like I mean, like, I'll start another character and I'll finish the game, like, very quick now because I know what the game is and I know exactly what to do and everything. But it still sucks. Like, cause I had, like, 3-4 characters max level and new game plus, that kind of stuff. And losing, just, like, starting from the beginning and restarting from scratch is just so fucking annoying. Oh, my God. I was so mad last night when I saw that and, like, all my saves were gone. And I just like, and I was reading up and like, yeah, you know, PSA, save your backup your game files because there's no cloud saves for Dark Souls 3. And it's just, what the fuck? We're in 2017. Well, 2016 when the game released. How can there not be cloud saves on Steam? It's a platform built for fucking cloud saves. Come on, From Software.
And there's your rant from Simon.
I was all mellow and happy this morning, and now I'm mad again.
I'm sorry. That's fine.
It makes for good podcasting. Fuck my life, man. And I shouldn't even be mad. Like, it's a game. Who gives a shit?
You have the right to be mad.
It's your favorite game.
It's your favorite.
90 hours in this game for nothing, you know, and like looking up stuff and characters and this and that, and just like having it all be like, oh, you know, those 90 hours. Oops. No cloud saves, so I guess you don't have to play now. You have to start over. And now I have a week and a half to get to where I was in 90 hours to get to the DLC. So that's fucking...
Well, I mean, the week does have more than 90 hours.
Plus Zelda, plus work, plus life.
Yeah, I'm not like...
Well, I'm just saying... I'm just saying you could call in sick.
Ali, don't.
And you could just not shower. Ali.
What is it? My face hurts? My face is tired.
Simon, your face is tired, so you don't need to go into work, and you can just play Dark Souls for,
like... My face is tired from all that bullshit. No, and the worst thing is, like, I wanted to... Because I have, like, a couple of vacation days left, and I never take vacation, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a vacation day to play the DLC when it comes out, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be cool, and then this shit happens, so I might not even be fucking ready for the DLC. So it's just, no.
Upside, you were looking for an excuse to not play too much Zelda.
Yeah, I gotta play Dark Souls. Well, I mean, it's a fantastic game. I'm gonna be super happy to start a new character. But I wanted to have the option to start a new character. I didn't want to be forced to start a new character. Anyways. That was my rant. That was my annoyings.
We all feel for you, Simon. I'm sure there's other people out there who have encountered the same thing. Poor you. Our other topic that we wanted to speak about, like you mentioned it early at the beginning of the show, this has been a weird week in that amongst the news of, you know, Zelda tutorials and stuff that you find online and the Mass Effect animation giggling fest, the only real news that we've encountered has been about the people surrounding games. People saying weird stuff online, making inappropriate tweets, their personalities overshadowing, or their personalities and views overshadowing the content that they actually create. So, though I don't want to dive too much into the nitty-gritty of who did what and who said what and all that kind of jazz, because, you know, that could get really intense, I want us to talk about what parents should be aware of and what they should be paying attention to when it comes to the media that their kids are consuming online. Because I feel like we talk a lot about parents, we get questions a lot about parents, you know, being super adamant about making sure that their kids are playing the right games, that they're not playing stuff with too much violence in it, that they're, you know, what TV shows and movies that they're watching. But we haven't really gotten to the discussion about YouTube and content creators and Instagram and you know, RIP Vine. So I want to know from you guys what your thoughts are on, you know, scenario as a whole when it comes to consumption of content and how parents can, you know, be aware in this really weird situation that we're living in right now.
I mean, it's, you know, I look at someone like my mom, and even like 15 years ago or whatever, she had no idea what I was doing on the internet, because they just, they don't know, because it's not their culture. They don't know how to control, quote unquote, like what's happening when you're online and what you're watching and what's happening. And I don't think that, I mean, it's probably hard because it's just not their culture. It's not, they don't look at that kind of stuff. So it's not like you're watching TV, like they know what's on TV. They know what you shouldn't watch on TV, that kind of stuff. Like on the internet, they're not part of that whole world. I feel that eventually us, if we ever have kids or whatever, we'll be much more aware of what's out there because we've lived it and we know what's happening. But I feel that parents, like in this generation, like our parents, have no idea what's happening online. And so it's could be very hard for them to control everything what's happening, apart from, like, you know, don't look at porn and that kind of stuff, because they know that porn's online. But when it comes to YouTube and that kind of content where it's not, like, controlled, well, there's a bit of control, but I don't know how parents can do it right now. I don't know how they can do it. I have no idea, unless they, like, get interested in what their kids are watching and, like, if they notice what their kid are watching and watch it themselves, I guess that would be what would you have to do, like, watch what your kids are watching and understand what it's all about. But apart from that, like, they don't know
the culture. I don't think banning children from watching certain things is the way to go.
No.
In a lot of cases, I think a lot of it is a conversation mm-hmm. after the fact to explain why things are a certain way, why media is reacting a certain way, why people are freaking out because John Tron said something a certain way, why people are freaking out because Colin Moriarty tweeted and then decided to leave Kind of Funny. Even PewDiePie. You know, people don't understand the kids don't understand because maybe they don't understand the history behind. So it's an educational experience in these cases.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important, is having an open dialogue with your children constantly about what they're taking in, what they're internalizing as entertainment. And I think even more importantly, you know, a lot of parents, older generation, you know, are conscious of what their kids are watching on TV and in movies. You know, like, there's a rating system for that, so they'll look at it and be like, oh, well, this says it has, you know, crude humor, language, etc. Maybe when you're older, YouTube channels don't really come with ratings, at least not ones that parents are aware of. And so, you know, just because a child, just because a YouTube personality is playing Minecraft doesn't mean that the YouTube personality is child friendly. And that's what parents need to be aware of. Just like you're monitoring what your child is watching on satellite or what movies they want to rent or movies they want to go see in the theater, you should be just as aware as the, of the YouTube channels that they're following.
Definitely.
That's what it comes down to, point blank, is parents need to look at the content that their children are watching. And I know it's not easy. It's not, you know, always possible. But it needs to happen one way or another.
Now, Catherine, you're the aunt of two young children who live below you. I mean, they're super young right now. But do you know if your brother has any game plan of how they might handle these kind of situations when they arise once the two kids get old enough to, you know, encounter these kinds of things?
Well, I mean, my brother is a vice principal in a school, in a primary school. He's an educator and school administrator, so I'm pretty sure he has a good grasp on that, and I'm pretty sure he's had these issues rise in his everyday life, just in his career life. So I think he's ready. I think he's also smart enough to ask me when he sees something that might be like internet or video game related that he does not understand. Being an administrator, he knows when to ask the good question and to whom. So, but I mean, we've had a few instances with Florence, the three-year-old girl, where she's like, you know, I'm like, well, do you want to, you know, should we put a hair tie in Pascal's hair as a joke? And she's like, well, no, boys don't do that. And I'm like, boys could do that if they wanted to. And it's like her, I was reading her a book about the Little Mermaid. And she's like, no, mermaids are girls only. I'm like, no, boys can be mermaid. There's boys, like, you know, Ariel's dad's a boy. He's a mermaid or a merman. And like, I've been doing a lot of like these, like, you're a kid of 2017. Like, for me, in my head, she would be more accepting than I would be. But no, she has like very clear gender constructs. And I'm like, why? Is this Dora teaching you that only girls are mermaid? What? Last time I checked the mermaid episode, Boots was a mermaid, too.
The fact that you know that is just...
I have no choice.
I love it.
I have no choice.
I absolutely
it has,
love it.
Every Saturday morning it has to be on, or there is a meltdown. But, I mean, they already control the amount of TV she watches. You know, like, movies and Dora's is for weekends only. Because she stopped taking naps, and at one point, they got to do laundry. Basically.
Oh, God.
So, I think they'll have a good grasp on this, but, yeah, I think they'll have to start, you know, like, monitoring what she watches on Netflix, what she watches on YouTube. She's not to that point yet, but she will get to that point. And I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, like, taking what you see online and putting it in a real world context, like, you know, like right now you're saying the, like, this is for girls, this is for boys, but eventually she might have a transgender friend or, you know, like a non-binary or whatever, like the verbose is called, but like, you know, like you have people that are androgynous, like, you know, you have people like RuPaul that sometimes dresses like a woman, sometimes dresses like a man. And, like, this is going to happen in, I'm guessing, her teenage years now. Because people are getting more comfortable with who they are because society is getting more accepting. So, you know, it's going to be like, you know, for me, like, the comments of that JonTron said, it would be like, if you have a kid watching JonTron, it would be like, you know, what he's saying, the people he's saying that should be booted out of the country... He's referring to people like your friends, like, you know, at school you have this kid and that kid and you play soccer with this kid. Like, half your soccer team would have to be deported because of JonTron. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Well, it's also, you know, that the kids look up to these people, and that's what's scary, because then, you know, they look up to the personality that they're displaying online, so that whenever their real personality, quote unquote, comes out on the internet for some reason, they still see that person and they still put them on a pedestal. So whatever that person will say, they will believe as gospel. So that's also very scary.
I think, Catherine, what you're saying about putting it in a real world context is really important, because, you know, you have content creators that use slurs or outdated, you know, exclamations, you know, like, and they use them so liberally and so normally and in a context that a child is internalizing, but they don't understand the real world consequences or meaning of those slurs or phrases or whatever it may be. And so to them, it's just like, oh, X YouTuber said this, so, you know, it's funny and you know, I can say it too, but it's not the case. You know, there's, and, you know, YouTubers commenting during their gameplay videos or even just during their vlogs about real world events where a child might not be aware of, you know, of what's going on in the world, like, you know, immigration or whatever. Like, they might not have an understanding of that yet.
Like Holocaust already, jokes.
Yeah, Holocaust jokes.
They don't,
too.
Like, how would they know that before having a history class?
Well, that's it. Like, they might not even be aware of the real world events, but already have an opinion. And maybe one that's said in earnest, or one that's even said in a joking manner. But already they have some sort of data, you know, about it?
Yeah.
Where they don't even have data about the actual event.
Yeah. That's scary.
Which is kind of, it is scary.
I think a lot of things have to do with context as well. And in some cases, things can be construed when they're not placed in context, and the personality and things too. And when things are read a certain way, they can be misinterpreted. And having that explanation to a child too, trying to walk them through that minefield of what it means, what context means, could be quite complicated, but at the same time, a very good learning experience. Like, I always say, like, don't, when you have, like, a hot stove, right, and you tell a kid, don't put your hand on the hot stove, you have to explain to the kid why, because if not, they're going to try it, because they're going to be like, well, you told me no, and I want to rebel. But if you say, well, you're going to burn your hand, and it's going to hurt like a bitch, like, that's why you don't do it. And understanding that context in that situation, and understanding that when you take certain words certain way, they can mean a meaning that is different than what was intended, and explaining all those nuances can be quite complicated, and something that maybe someone only learns later in life.
It's going to be tough.
I think it's really the only way that parents can get around it now is actually immersing themselves in the content that their children are enjoying, and having an open dialogue about it, and being like, listen, you saw this, how did it make you feel, you know, do you want to talk about it, sort of deal. That's really the only way they can do it now, but they have to be active in the consumption of the media at the same time.
I think that's the same across the board, be it movies, TVs, video games, YouTube, the news, understanding world things that are happening, you know, anything.
We keep saying more and more that video games and online content is the way of the future, right? Like, we no longer watch TV, we watch streamers or YouTubers or online content. So it needs to be approached in exactly the same way.
And I realize, like, I especially see it after, like, helping my brother and babysitting and whatnot, that, you know, when your kid sits down to watch a movie or watch something or play a video game for you, it's like, I can, like, he's fine or she's fine for, like, at least an hour. Like, I'm gonna go shower, I'm gonna go take a minute to myself and whatnot. But I think before you take that liberty, like, that you sit down and you make sure that what they're watching is okay, or if they're getting into Minecraft, like, watch them play Minecraft for like a 30 minute, an hour, and then you realize, okay, him playing Minecraft the way he plays alone, or the way he plays on a server with his friend that is controlled, I'm fine with it. So, you know, set him up, he plays Minecraft, make sure he's playing with his friend, and then maybe walk away. Like, we've watched a lot of Dora before we figured out it's fine for her to consume Dora, so that we know on Saturday morning when she gets up at, like, buttfuck o'clock and we kind of want to nap on the couch, we can turn on, like, a few pre-recorded Dora and she'll be fine for, like, one or two episodes before she gets bored. That sort of thing. And I think if you see your child watching a certain YouTuber, like, who is he? Who is she? What's her shtick? All right. And then maybe on your own time, try and watch a few videos. Even have them in the background while you're at work. Just to figure it out. Like, this is going to have to be, like, this is going to have to be very important. Because I've played so many video games with my mom just sitting on the couch reading a book. Or my dad in the background, yeah. Just reading his newspaper, like, you know, with me just playing there. My Game Boy, and then, yeah, just there, and then just once in a while, what are you doing? What's happening? Oh, well, you know, I'm playing Link's Awakening, and I'm doing this dungeon and whatnot. And my mom actually started playing Link's Awakening because she got really interested in Zelda because I was playing it all the time. You know, like, when I got into the Pokemon frenzy, she was like, what the hell is Pokemon? So she actually sat with me, and I had to explain the game to her. And then she was like, okay, so yeah, this is fine. This is fine, like, she can play it. Then she just, like, controlled the amount I played so that, you know, I would do my homework because I was just like, Pokemon, you know. But that's what's going to have to happen, and you just need to add YouTube into that mix. So, I mean, go see their watch history and maybe take interest into who they're watching and what. Because even somebody that starts wholesome could end up going the JonTron way and just
the
suddenly
dark part of YouTube.
Yeah, just like, I know for a long time, like, I wasn't a big follower of JonTron, but apparently he wasn't all that bad until he was like, let's deport all the immigrants.
Honestly, well, I don't know if we want to talk about this, but honestly, it came out of such nowhere. And he made racist joke in the past on Game Grumps and was like, haha, funny, you know, because, and they still do, but we know that, like, Dan and Aaron are not racist people at all, you know, and they make those jokes because it's funny. But, you know, now then John made those jokes and now you're like, oh, he actually believed that what he was saying. That's not cool anymore. So that, you know, so that's, you never know what someone really thinks of in real life until they talk about it. So yep. That's like, that's such a hard thing to know until they decide they want to talk about it. And that's why a lot of them don't talk about their real life opinions and stuff, because they don't want people to know about it, because they alienate a part of their fan base by doing it.
Or because it gets taken out of context and then they can be given
there
opinions.
Was no out of context for John. It was
no, John was like straight up like, yeah. But I mean, there could be a contact issue.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's a thin thread. And, you know, like, for our younger listeners, like, if you're watching something or listening to something and you don't understand it or you feel weird about it, it raises a red flag. Like, have the decency or the openness to ask a parent or a mentor or whomever you talk to on a daily basis that's older than you, that has a bit more of this real world experience and knowledge and education, that could be like, yeah, what PewDiePie did was fucking wrong because of XYZ, and maybe you should reevaluate how you feel about this YouTuber. Or maybe, like, it was, you know, I feel like it was a fluke because of XYZ, so maybe you should see how his other videos are or whatever, but talk to somebody that knows what the Holocaust is or knows about immigration and discrimination, who has friends that maybe are not just, you know, white conservatives and things like that, or Americans or whatnot, you know. Like, in Canada, we're like, our population is 40% immigrants and first generation, so we have no choice. Every time somebody talks about deportation, like, I'm going to lose more than half my friends if Canada starts deporting immigrants. So it's a big issue for me.
We're multi-ethnic as fuck, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Montreal, man. Especially.
It's definitely a hot topic that is going to keep resurfacing. And I feel like, because, YouTube is such a DIY experience too, and you don't have the producers and the power of editing and that second set of eyes, or multitude in many TV cases, on content before it goes live, this is something that's going to come up a lot more. A lot more. All right, I think that pretty much closes out our show for today. I, of course, before I let you go, want to thank Fun.io for a wonderful partnership with them for website hosting. If you're looking for VPS hosting or even just a WordPress blog, go check them out. Stream schedule wise, Simon,
GirlsOnGames.tv.
We've had a new member join.
Oh, yeah. Her name is, Fluffy Flippin' Fox, but I think we call her Fluffy because it's adorable. And no, she streams almost every day. She starts at like around noon-ish and then finishes at like 7-ish. So, no, she's there almost every day, and she's a really fun streamer.
What kind of stuff does she like to play?
Overwatch. She plays a lot of Overwatch. She's been playing a lot of it recently. But she plays, you know, she plays Castle Crashers, you know, all sorts of games that are fun to watch. So definitely go check her out. GirlsOnGames.tv. She's going to be in the list there.
And Allie's got some pretty fun stream days set up.
Yes, Allie, on Tuesday, she will be playing the Mass Effect Andromeda, so that will be, what time do you think you're going to start, do you know?
Probably around 8:30.
8:30, awesome, so you guys definitely should go check it out. She's an awesome streamer, and it should be a funny game to watch play, so definitely
all them face potatoes.
Say what?
All them face potatoes.
Oh yeah, all the tired faces will be online in the flesh, or in the online, or whatever.
Kat, what's going on for website highlights this week?
So this week's art examination will be about Chariot. We also have a few things in the works that will be coming up in the coming weeks on Mass Effect and Horizon Zero Dawn. So check out the website in the next few days for that.
Sweet. So I want to thank everybody for being here with me today. Kat, Allie, Simon, really appreciate it. Want you to roll through your social media so everybody can come track you down. Kat, where can people find you?
I'm CSDESBINS, CSDBIN on Twitter, Instagram. You'll also find me on all the gaming networks from Steam, Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox. I log in about once a month, so send me a friend request and wait on it.
You know what? I've actually been getting new friend requests on my Switch, so yay, people. Allie, how about you? Where can people track you down?
I'm 8BitBlonde pretty much everywhere on the internet, as well as Xbox Live.
Simon.
GOG Simon on Twitter.
Very nice. And I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms, Xbox and Nintendo. I am GOG Leah. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. We're just Girls on Games on Instagram. We've got a Discord channel. So if you want to continue this fun discussion, you can go to discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, everything you ever need to know about Girls on Games is at our home base. That is girlsongames.ca. Thank you once again for a wonderful week. It's been a weird one, but a good one. And I'm going to go back and play some more Zelda. So you guys have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk later. Happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.